Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Sandy Sanderson. She's the CEO of Electra Life, that is, Pty Ltd, and talk about the use of topical magnesium to promote relaxation, calming, better sleep and wellness, and also how it helps drug users to recover. On the line, Sandy, very good morning. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you, Trevor. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you for coming to the program. Where are you based? Where are you living?
On the Gold Coast in Queensland.
All right, thank you. Yep. Got a bit of an accent there. Where are you from? Where do you stem from, Sandy?
Well, my parents were migrants back in the 60s, so I did grow up in Australia, okay. And I did go to school here, but I have a mixture of an accent because, you know, I'm a little bit of an international person. I kind of pick up accents the more I talk to different people.
You pick it up.
I do. It's like music, I think. You have to have an ear for music. You have to have an ear for accents.
Yes. Now, you're the CEO of Electra Life, Pty and Ltd. So tell us about your product and your company and what do you do?
Well, 12 years ago, I had severe heart arrhythmias from Hashimoto's hyperthyroidism. I had excessive stress in the job I did before. I had a lot of sleep deprivation, working overnight, and that caused my system to break down. And I didn't realise at the time I was very magnesium deficient, because the more stress the body has, the more it loses magnesium. We can't cope then. And the lower the magnesium gets, the more sensitive to stress we become. You know, there are studies that even show that low magnesium can cause depression and mental illness, because the body just doesn't have enough energy for the immune system, for neurotransmitters, because all of that requires a lot of energy. And magnesium is the most important mineral for metabolism and energy production. So in other words, the life force, the actual life force of the body, depends on having enough magnesium, and stress depletes it. So that's basically it. When I got enough magnesium into me, using the soaking method, soaking in natural magnesium chloride salts, which comes from ocean water, I was able to...
So you bathe in the magnesium, is that what you're saying?
Yes, you do foot soaking, bathing. You can go swimming in the ocean every day too and absorb magnesium from the sea.
Okay.
But a lot of us don't have a chance to do that every day, or maybe we don't live near the ocean or can't do that. This is a way to do it at home. While you're watching TV, you could have your feet soaking in a bucket of water with some magnesium flakes in it. Very calming and so good to give you a good night's sleep.
So the skin observes, the body observes it, does it?
It absorbs it, that's right. So your epidermis, your outside skin layer, is the largest organ of the body. The skin has pores and channels, they open and close. So when you sweat, you're perspiring out your minerals. And when you soak in mineral-rich water, you can absorb the minerals back in. And so that's a great way to bypass the digestive system, because today a lot of people don't digest food very well.
Yes.
Maybe they don't have enough stomach acid, or they've got irritable bowel syndrome or some bad gut bacteria. That usually comes from chemicals or drugs or, you know, processed foods. Basically, bad lifestyle upsets the gut microbiome. And then we can't get the nutrients from the food that we eat because it's not digesting well enough. Well, through the skin, you can absorb a lot of magnesium to help your body recover better, and that bypasses the digestion. So we created products from the salts. If you don't have time for soaking, you can use the magnesium moisturizer, the lotion. We have a spray-on version, all different strengths, because... like athletes, we need a lot more. Some people have a very high-end need. So you can just choose what you like, put it on every day, and you've got your magnesium supplement. And you cannot overdose that way. There's no danger of getting too much from from using it on the skin. So very safe also for children.
Good.
Because a lot of children have hyperactivity or ADHD or muscle issues. You know, they have high magnesium needs because they're growing and the bones are growing fast.
So this mineral relaxes you, calms you down, and it helps you with better sleep and wellness, all about wellness.
Absolutely. Mm. You know what? It's like plugging into a PowerPoint.
Okay. To get re-energized.
You have your computer, you've got your hard drive and your software,
yep.
But if you're not plugging it into the power, nothing works. And
exactly.
It's the same with
good
magnesium.
Analogy, yep.
Yeah, you can have all the other nutrients present, but if there's not enough magnesium, they're not going to work properly.
So Electra Life, do you have a webpage?
Yes, it's Electra Magnesium, which is the brand name, electramagnesium.com.au.
Electra spelled E-L-E-K-T-R-A?
Yes, that's like the girl's name, Electra.
Okay.
She was the Greek goddess of the thunder clouds because it represents electrical energy.
Yes.
Because it's an electrolyte.
Okay, yes. So people can check that online. Now, just also confirming, you've teamed up partners with the Australian Anti-ICE campaign and help drug users as well using magnesium.
Yes, because the use of drugs and alcohol and anything like that so severely depletes the body's reserves of magnesium. That's why they chemicals attack the liver, and the liver needs a lot of support from magnesium. So in the recovery phase, it's a very rocky road, but you can make it a lot easier, you know, with the muscle twitches and all those kind of disorders, and to sleep better. Magnesium is great to help everything calm down, and no negative side effects at all.
Fantastic.
So it's just helpful.
Yes. And look, it helps our brothers and sisters out there who are drug users, and to help them recover. And look, any tool we can do to help our mob out there, which is so very important. Thank you very much for sharing, Sandy. All the best to you, and stay in touch.
Thank you, too. Thank you for the opportunity. Spread the good word.
Spread the good word. You take care. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Sandy Sanderson, her name is. She's the CEO, Electra Life, that is, Pty Ltd. So do check it out. And they deal with magnesium, and it helps to promote relaxation, calming, better sleep and wellness. They've also teamed up with the Australian Anti-ICE campaign to help drug users, and using that fantastic mineral, magnesium. So do check it out. And it's a way of looking after our loved ones out there who have gone down that jackie road of being drug users. There it is, light at the end of the tunnel, you mob. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, the deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
It's school, yes, it's school, the dog's school. It's school, yes, it's school. Education. Gotta get a 2, 3, 4 and go to school. I woke up this morning with school on my mind. Got all excited, gonna do fine. Gonna see on a Wednesday. Daddy, you can go to school, and you can get a good job. School, yes, it's school, to go to school. It's school, yes, it's school, to go to school. Gotta get a good job, get an education. Get up, 2, 3, 4, and go to school.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. So give us a call, have your say, and yarn up strong. Okay, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Andre Simmons, and she's the CEO of the Australian Anti-Ice Campaign. And look, her story, Entrepreneur Schools, saw her become a self-made millionaire by the time she was just 21 years of age. But that was no match for the powerful addictive forces of ice. Yep, the drug ice, which took hold of her life and shortly after reaching 40. We've got Andrea on the line. Andrea, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm great. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So, look, your world was virtually turned upside down. Now, here you are, advocates for drug users out there and with that yucky drug ice. But it has turned your world around, and now you're helping people, being the CEO of the Australian Anti-Ice Campaign. So tell us your story there, please, Andrea.
Well, I was never into drugs, Trevor, you know. I was the average person, you know, you put your head down, you work hard, you know, raise your family. Mm. And that's exactly what I did, you know. I had a couple of kids by the time I was 21, and we embarked on me and my husband, on development and making money and having businesses. And I never really got messed up, you know, in the party scene. And, you know, we all know that drugs aren't good for you.
Sure.
You know, we're told that. So, but what happens is that I didn't really understand the consequences associated with using any drugs, because that wasn't my scene.
Yes.
However, you know, after, you know, working hard and acquiring quite a bit of asset and, you know, working smart as well, we had pretty much set ourselves up for life where, you know, we had three houses and, you know, we had businesses and we could semi-retire by the age of 27. Mm. You know, and I mean, that was fine. We could look at other things to grow and you know, keep ourselves, to grow up and to keep ourselves, you know, still in the game. But what happened was, you know, my marriage started to fall apart and, you know, tried to fix that. But at the age of 40, we decided to go our separate ways. You know, the kids were raised up and thought,
sure.
You know,
And so the breakup of the marriage, that started the spiral downward? That was the depression in your life?
Not at all.
No, okay.
Not at all. You know, I was, okay, I took the houses, he took the business, we were fine, I had three houses, I had, you know, every opportunity, I was happy.
Okay.
There was no particular reason for me to spiral out of control or get into depression.
And how'd you turn to drugs?
Well, it was by somebody that I had known in my past as a friend, and somebody I trusted, somebody I wanted, you know, I wanted to get to know better. I wanted to fit in to his world, and, you know, he pulled out an ice pipe. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was ice. I wasn't in that scene. Mm. But he explained it like, you know, you trust me, don't you? It's just going to make you relax. If you don't like it, you don't have to take it, but just have a puff. And, you know, my mind went to, it's just something that you smoke. I related it to marijuana.
Sure.
You know, I smoke cigarettes. It's no big deal, sure. You know. And all these things started entering my mind where it was like, everybody tries something. I'm 40. I've never tried anything. You know, how bad can it be? It's not like a needle in your arm or a pill that you're taking that you can't control it. But what happened after that, you know, was I had the highest high you're ever going to get, but nobody told me and what was about to happen. And it comes with the lowest low that you can ever get. Mm. The thing is, you know, anxiety and depression started to kick in from word go. But you see, your mind, your brain only remembers that flood of dopamine, which makes you feel good the first time, and you can't stop thinking about it, so you'll do it again. I don't know anybody that...
So how long did the addiction kick in then, Andrea?
Trevor, within weeks.
Within weeks?
I had moved down to Melbourne to be with this man, and I was using, you know, I was using all the time. I was using every 3 days, we were picking up, and it just became the thing that I did. That was what I lived for.
Ice is pretty expensive, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you use all your money from your entrepreneur schools to purchase more drugs?
I did, Trevor. I started to sell off my houses. I took out the mortgage from them first, and I used all the equity in the properties. I used it for drugs. The man that I was with, he was...
This is all under the addiction, isn't it, my dear?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And he was using as well. He was working as well while he was using. He wasn't completing his work properly, but, you know, people on the outside, people wouldn't have known that this was our lifestyle, you know, and that was the saddest thing, because if somebody could have looked for the signs and seen what was going on, they probably could have offered some help and showed us, hey, you're going to hell, you know?
Mm.
And destroying yourself. But see, I took off to another state and alienated myself from my family.
Yeah, so they didn't know what was going on.
They had no idea, you know. And very, very quickly, this drug hijacked my brain. And
so when you're talking about selling your house and getting the money, the equity out to run with drugs, how much money a day would you be spending on drugs?
Look, at the end, Trevor, I was using something like $500 a day, because, you know, this is a bag, that's what it would cost us to pick up, and every second day we were picking up. So, you know, that's the amount that it was costing us.
Yeah.
You know? So that's
the power of ice, isn't it?
Trevor, you know, the power of that drug, what it does to your brain, and all you do is, you know, live for it. And you will do whatever it takes to get the next hit, even if it is hurt people around you that you love, you know.
And you would have done that in the process, wouldn't you, Andre, hurt people around you?
Absolutely. You know, and I manipulated my family. I manipulated people to give me money and, you know, I sold everything off. I even got to a point where I thought about selling myself, my body, because I just needed it, you know. It was... like, what else? And I was stealing to eat when I came down, you know, because you don't eat on ice, but when you crash and after your body sleeps for, you know, a few days, you get up and you're starving because, you know, I was malnutrition. I was weighing 40 kilos.
Well, Andre, you are one of the lucky ones because you've come out of it. Here you are talking to me on radio about your life. So where are you now? What are you doing? You are the CEO of the Australian Anti-Ice Campaign. So your life has turned around. You've now become an advocate in regards the addiction of ice. So you are one of the lucky ones.
Yes, I am one of the lucky. I'm blessed, you know, and every day I'm grateful for that chance and opportunity to have life again. And, you know, a very small percentage of people actually obtain recovery. You know, it's actually 2%. You know, the rest of them end up in that cycle and they end up dead or in prison or a mental health institute. So today what we do, I've been blessed to be given the opportunity to recover. We help other people get out of that cycle of addiction and create a pathway into a life worth living and to get their life back. And we also educate kids in schools and in communities about the dangers of this drug. See, I had no idea, Trevor. I didn't know what it was. You know, people need to know it's called, you know, Strawberry Quick. It's called Rock. It's called Tina.
Yeah.
It comes in different colours, you know, and it's all the same. Some, you know, they're lacing marijuana with this drug so that they can get people hooked to something more often and make more money from them.
Exactly.
You know, our community needs to know it is the devil's drug
And
it is going to take them to hell.
Well, look, you're living a beautiful life now. You're an advocate and trying to help drug users using ICE. You had to go the long way around to get in this position, meaning living that life and nearly taking your life. And how's your relationship with your children? They're still in your life? Is it all good there?
Absolutely. Good. I have two beautiful daughters. I have grandchildren. They realised that I was suffering. I was hurting. It's a mental condition.
Yes.
It becomes, you know, a mental condition. And which one comes first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know whether I had the mental condition before. I don't believe I did. But I believe that the onset of this drug brought it on. And once I came clean and told them that this was my problem,
yes,
they were there to support me and walk with me. And we have a great relationship
good
now.
Good.
I've just, you know, given my life for this purpose because I know what it's like to be on the other side.
Yes,
and
beautiful.
We raise awareness and warn our youth that think that, you know, a pill is okay.
Yes.
When they're cutting it with ice and they're, you know, getting people hooked and you're not having the capacity to use your brain again, ice takes over. So we just need to make that really clear and aware and
yes
show them that through our life and our examples.
And that's what the Australian Anti-ICE campaign is doing. Now, you've partnered also with Electra Magnesium. I did speak to the CEO of Electra Life, Sandy Sanderson, and look, that's a nice fit working together, yes?
Absolutely, and they're doing an amazing job with healing the body. See, we're a three-part being, spirit, soul and body.
Yes.
And to get true recovery, you need to heal all aspects of that. So the magnesium is doing a great amount of work physically because it restores, as Sandy would explain, the central nervous system gets affected through ice severely, and a magnesium helps restore that, amongst other things. But, you know, spirit, soul and body, so they need counsellors, they need the physical as well as the spiritual for true recovery.
Mm. So we're talking about getting a balance in life. You're talking about the three phases, aspects of your life, physical, mental, and spiritual. Very important to have the all three. The other analogy I use along those lines of balance is it's no good being the wealthiest person in the cemetery, for example, you know?
That's absolutely right, yeah. So, you know, what best example can you follow except those that have obtained recovery? And that's what
yes
we do. We go out there, we buddy people, and we show them the way out of that space.
So how do people get in touch with the Australian Anti-ICE campaign and partners?
They can do that online at www.australianantiicecampaign.org.au,
mm-hmm,
or they can call us on 1-800-NO-TO-ICE.
1-800-NO-TO-ICE. Oh, beautiful. So to all our mob out there, all our listeners out there, if you know of a family member or friend who's in that situation, look, make that phone call, reach out, and that's what we need to do, isn't it, Andre, is reaching out the best we can do.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's some training available for families online
okay
on our website, if they want to understand it more and how they can help their loved one. Please get on our website and have a look.
Andrea, thank you so very much for sharing. Please do keep in touch and lead them from the front. You've been through it all, and now you've come back on the other side and advocate in helping our drug users out there. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Trevor, for exposing this. Thank
you take care. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there, powerful yarn, a powerful story, and that's Andrea Simmons, her name is, and she's the CEO of the Australian Anti-ICE Campaign, and they've partnered up with Electra, Electra Life, that is, and spoke to the CEO, Sandy Sanderson, about that as well. So look, a great team effort it is. Drugs out there, say no to drugs is the message. Be strong, you mob, and families, we need to look out for our loved ones, and look, make that phone call, reach out and save them. That's what it's all about. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. The daily number is 1-800-422-416.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior, that's what we are. One generation from a warrior, that's what we are. Our fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're now civilized, our hearts are not far from them. Cause we're one generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior.
that's what we are. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Ooh, yeah, yes, that's what we are. Now that we know where our people come from, we found our identity. Our spirit lives on and on.
We should be got a rub-a-dub style. And worry about people no while. Listen to the beat, to the rhyme, to the rhythm. We gon' make you jump, cop car, now you get him. To kick a ragga in a natty vibration. We are the children of the next generation. Coming to you with a positive style. All simply, I'm the warrior, but me plan no while.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior,
yeah, yes, that's what we are.
Our fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're not civilized, our hearts are not far from them.
Cause we're one generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Drew's Namok with us in spirit, my brother. That's One Generation from a Warrior here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray Finn and Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give them Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. We're going to catch a yarn now with our daily brother from Brizzy. That's Coco Wharton on the line. Brother Coco, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trev. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, Coco?
Yeah, I'm a Kuma man. I come from Kalamala, between Kalamala and St. George and Brewarrina.
Yes.
That's my homeland, and I've working in the movements for around the country, Townsville, up North Queensland there for a while when I was younger. And now settled down between here and Brisbane and Kalamala, and
Look, a strong advocate you are. Yeah, a strong activist you are, fighting for our mob, for our rights in all fields. So how are you travelling in this world at the moment, 2021, brother?
Oh well, it's changing. It's a new world. I'm really proud of how the young people have grasped the movement and how they've gone ahead with it and how they can articulate our struggles, you know, and it's great to see that, you know, things that we've always had the conservative element of black fellas that are always against change and against us. That's their own way, but there's three types of black fellas, those black fellas that are conservative and want to be Australians, and then you've got the other ones that want to be Aboriginal Australians, and then you've got the other ones that want to be free. Believe in sovereignty and believe in birthrights and all that goes with it. And it's always a struggle amongst ourselves.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It's great to see that we're actually winning that challenge, and that a lot more young people are choosing to be free and choosing to exercise their sovereign rights and their birthright.
Well, exactly. And when you look at the outcome of the Collingwood Football Club, you know, that's a prime example. You know, an entity like so, a business, an organisation, as big as you like, and systemic racism happening within the club.
Yeah, and it's the colony, Trevor. It's the colony. It's all left over from what they bought here in 1788. That's gone on for 230 years, you know, 250 years. And it's all those systems that they bought here, the prisons, the jails, the law, the concept of terra nullius, the stole and everything that comes with the colony. And it's good to hear that a lot of sixth generation non-Aboriginal people, non-Murrays, non-Blackfellas, don't like being associated with the colony.
Yes.
And all the bad things that the colony brought here.
Well, if we are one, then we all need to operate that way inclined. But racism raises its ugly head in all facets, not only on the sporting field, in the work, you know, with the authorities as well. So it's an uphill battle for us as black people.
Yeah, but I think we're winning.
Yes.
I think, and I think if people keep their eye on where we're going, and this is important for black fellas and white fellas, the people that come out of the colony, is that, you know, this is a good country. You know, this is a great continent. Yep. We're a great part of the world, and we deserve better. You know, we deserve, each person that calls this place home deserves better. And if we settle to second best or third best or fourth best, we're jipping our kids. We're cheating our future generations. And, it's good that we have directions in terms of sovereignty and independence and treaty. But what we really got to look at is how we separate ourselves totally from the colony and then start getting this country organised as a republic.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly, brother. So we've just got to take every win we can get and thrive on that. Success breeds success, brother.
It does. And, you know, a republic, it's, we as black fellas in this country, we had 400 or 500 different nations before they come here, before the colony came here. Now, 400 or 500 plus an extra one don't make much difference, you know. We're a continent that's unique to any part of the world, where we had 400 different nations that coexisted and had treaties between one another and prospered and prospered and enjoyed and contributed and socialized for over, if you take 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 10,000 years or 60,000 years, that the Woomera people have been here.
Yeah, and then you bring the so-called economy and the political arena to the forefront. It just turns the world upside down, doesn't it?
Mate, we were unique to tell us, young, and we're the only people in the world that never had the bow and arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that says something, you know. It's their systems, the colony systems, are all breaking down and the privilege is gone, where the 10% and... we've got to come up with new systems and we've got to come up with new ways of delivering justice.
And you do look at a tool as and black people get being highly educated, like we're getting doctors and lawyers and psychologists. And, I mean, that's a win, you could say, working for our mob, black on black as well, look, professionals.
Yeah, the only trouble is that when they get caught up, and this is what I say, is that when they get caught up, a lot of our people, the only jobs for them are in the government.
Sure.
And then they've got to sign a government contract, then they become public servants, then they've got to watch what they say and when
toe the line.
Yeah, you know, they can't just have a freedom of speech the way that they want to have it.
Hands are tied in regard to the pay packet.
Yeah, and that's a shame. And I think John Howard did this deliberately back in 1992 when he stripped all our community-controlled organisations. He stripped them of $1 billion that was allocated. These were all the ACCAs, all the childcare agencies, all the night patrols, all the juvenile justice programs, all the home care, $1 billion of programs that he stripped from us, right? And force our people to
who've not worked in community-controlled organisations, but to go over to the government agencies to get the jobs that are failing us.
Sure.
You know, we've got people working in childcare up there in Cairns. We've got people working, and, you know, they can't do what they know is right.
Mm.
They've got to do what the government says they have to do.
Exactly.
And then we have, you know, and you know, Howard did this, but it was a deliberate action out of... Rudd didn't fix it up when he came to power. Gillard didn't fix it up when she came to power. So Labor Party is just as guilty. But, you know, and in that 20 years, Trev, is that's when all our children have got out of hand.
Yeah. Crime has lifted, hasn't it? Yep.
We never had suicides prior to that.
Well, that's true too, yes, exactly.
We never had the crime rate that we have at the moment, the disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our childcare agencies, our childcare workers were out there working at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
And when they addressed a problem with the child, they also looked after the parents, the mother
exactly.
and the father.
You've got to stem back to the family, exactly. And black on black, you can't beat that, eh, brother?
No, and 20 years, brother, 20 years, you have a look at it, how far we've gone backwards in the last 20 years. Since that deliberate action, and I accuse Howard was the original Proud Boy. He's a racist bastard. And he wanted to see nothing but the extinction of blackfellas and the resurrection of the White Australia policy. That's what Howard, and that's what Morrison's agenda is too. And that's what the ScoMo's agenda was as well.
Mm.
Every one of the Liberal National Coalition and the Labor, and I blame Albanese for having no balls and no courage, and the Labor Party MPs, particularly the black ones in there, for not making them reinstate that funding level back to that $1 billion again.
Well, black issues are just a political football, isn't it? We're black people, we're just a political football.
It's worse than that, mate. This was deliberate. The defunding of community-controlled organisations was a deliberate attack on Aboriginal welfare.
Mm. Keep the black man down and have the hand out, waiting for the hand up. Hand out, it's not a hand up.
They knew what would happen. They would knew that our children would go this way. They knew that they would have, then they could appeal to the panic merchants and look at how they can incarcerate our people.
Mm, let's build more prisons.
Incarcerating levels since 1992.
Mm. There's got to be a better way than building more prisons,
eh? Look how many people are in Mareeba. Have a look how many people are in Townsville. How many, you know, the increase of women, the increase of men in jail.
Mm.
This was all deliberate by the Proud Boys and the racist white Australian policy introduced by Howard, backed up by the gutless Kevin Rudd and the gutless Julia Gillard and the gutless Albanese that we got at the moment.
Coco, do you see light at the end of the tunnel?
I do. I do see this, and I do see we try to talk to the Greens when we try to, and I see the many young people that want change. They don't want to be associated with the colony anymore.
Yep.
And I see that the directions of where we're going with issues like climate change,
yep.
where we can change the agenda from coal to the planet. We've only got one planet.
Exactly. Got to nurture it, look after it.
You know, a lot of our young people are involved in that. And look, we've already seen three communities within the Torres Strait go underwater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, the
seas are rising. Yep, exactly.
That's in our lifetime, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking about future, you know, we're talking about stuff that's happening right now, where three communities within the Torres Strait have gone underwater by a metre and had to relocate to mainland Australia.
Mm.
You know, that's pretty wild.
Yep.
And
Mother Earth is singing out, and we need to act on it.
Yeah, brother. But yeah, that's exactly right. So, in answering your question, mate, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
It's up to our people. I always have a saying that our sovereignty will set the colony free.
Yeah, okay, beautiful, yes.
Once they recognise our sovereignty and they address the issues such as treaties and occupation.
Colonisation goes out the window.
And the share of the wealth, you know,
that's it.
Yeah.
It becomes a better place.
Good equation, brother.
And it's something, but... Yeah, but in the meantime...
That's the Australian dream right there, isn't it, Coco?
Well, it should be.
Exactly.
A lot of the young people and people our age that have been supportive of the truth in this country and a just occupation, you know, it's a testimony to their involvement now. And that's why we see the numbers of 10,000, 20,000 people, you know, thousands of people marching against a significant day like Australia Day.
Yeah, exactly.
And
sovereignty will set the colonisation free. I love that, brother.
Yes, it will set them free.
All right, brother.
It will. And, you know, it's not hard to understand that.
No.
And,
well, we always say life is simple, people complicated, government's complicated.
That's right. And Howard's the governments, the Commonwealth governments, until they reinstate that level of funding back to Aboriginal Affairs for direct community control programs, things that we're going to have to try and deal with.
Yep, black and white, exactly.
Yep.
My brother, thank you for the yarn. Coco, always good to catch up.
There's one other thing I wanted to really talk to you about, Trevor, if we got time.
Yeah, go ahead.
I pay my respects to the Namok family and the Malamu family.
With young Nicholas Floyd, young brother, 3 years old. Nicky,
yeah, and I pay my respects to the other families, the grandparents and the parents. We're having a memorial. Well, I'm very close, and a lot of the Brisbane community are very close with the Malamu family and the Namoks.
Yes.
And we grew up, played football, politics, march, everything. So I pay my respects to them. It'll be the anniversary next week. And,
yes.
But in Brisbane, we're marking this Friday as a commemoration candlelit vigil in King George Square, all the young people of Brisbane.
Mm.
And we're demanding that the family get justice.
Yep.
And that that particular woman that was, those people that were responsible for that day, are taken back and are actually made to account for what has happened there. You know, I've never heard of anything more sad in my life. But
yeah.
If I left my dog in a car...
RSPCA be taking you to jail, brother?
I've already been threatened numerous times about my dog being left in the car.
Mm, exactly.
Now, there's legislation for that. But this woman... And it's a blight on the barrister that represented her.
Mm.
It's blight on the prosecution, the judge.
Yep.
Everybody else in that courtroom was white.
Yep, yep. And look, to shed some light on it for our listeners out there, what you're talking about, the Cairns childcare worker, her name here, Dione Abatris Grills, has manslaughter charge dropped over death of toddler left on the minibus. And we're talking about our little brother with us in spirit, Nicholas Floyd Namok Malamu, 3 years old, who was found dead on the Good Start Early Learning Centre minibus in February last year. There for about 6 hours and virtually, you know, in the heat, 30 degrees Celsius. And we lost the little brother because of negligence, yes?
Well, they found her... that she had nothing to answer, brother.
Yes.
Now, how can that be? People should be angry.
Yeah, you gave the prime example. If you left a dog in the back of the bus, you know, RSPCA would be putting you in jail.
There's legislation to protect dogs being left in the bus.
Yes, exactly.
Or the car.
Yep.
But there's no committal, there's no nothing. You do that, you're going to jail, you're going to get a fine.
Mm.
You know?
Yep.
Now, this woman, and I feel for her, but we all have a duty of care.
Yeah, well, she states that she will carry the heartache of the little brother Malik's death for life. Yes, but they're saying that wasn't her fault, the driver as well, the driver. They're pointing out the driver.
And the organisation.
Yeah.
We haven't had a pop at a... I haven't heard from the coroner. I haven't heard anything from a coroner's inquest. I have a coronial inquest, any inquest. Mm. There's been no proper...
There's no communication with the public. No
investigation into the incident for the judge to make their ruling.
Mm.
And the families had no input into it. The family hasn't been able to raise their questions. I think this whole show has been hijacked.
Well, we start to think, as black people, Coco, we start to think, if that was a little white boy, would it be different?
Mm.
Would it be different?
The strange thing happened. It was only a couple of months ago that, down here in Brisbane, that a couple left their child in a car and they both were sitting in jail.
Yeah.
You know, this is only a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what... I say, I know there's a lot of strong people in Cairns. Yeah. I know there's a lot of people up there that have got opinions on this. And this is at a time when our young people have been attacked in Townsville, by vigilantes, by white vigilantes. And when we've got systems like this that are protecting people, we've got to stand up.
Mm. Exactly.
People have got to stand up and give support to the family and start demanding that justice goes two ways.
Yeah, true way.
You know, and we've got to start demanding that justice, Trev.
Mm. Look, love, thoughts, prayers going out to the Namok and Mullamu family, yep. Yeah, oh, that's Coco. That's Coco Wharton there. Look, strong activist, deadly black fellow there, brother there in Brisbane, and just talking about all issues and regarding where we sit in the 21st century as black people. But I also brought the story there about a young brother there who's with us in spirit, three-year-old brother left on the bus there, minibus at Good Start Early Learner Centre here in Cairns. And the childcare worker, Dion Batras Grills, has manslaughter charge dropped over the death of toddler left on the minibus. Very sad affair. Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Got about 6 minutes left on the program. A one-hour program here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbury Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray call us, have a yarn, 1-800-422-416. And we've got a call online. We've got Samantha from WA. Samantha, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm wonderful hearing your voice.
Good. Thank you, my dear. You're travelling okay?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yes, I definitely are. I love listening to that gentleman you just had on.
Yeah, that's Coco Wharton.
He had my thoughts. Mm. Exactly. Howard should have been shot. If I was able to shoot him, I would have shot him myself.
Yeah, be careful what you say there, my darling. But, he's a strong activist for our mob and been walking the pavement, carrying our flag and very strong in many ways. And, so you enjoyed his story, his yarn?
Oh, I did, because I agreed with it 100%. Mm. You see, I'm a white because my mother was German-Polish and my father Maltese, yes. Who was called the Dirty Arab.
Yeah, Dirty Arab. Is that right?
He was dirty Arab because his skin was, well, he could have, he would have been privileged, as he always said, to be amongst you people, because that's what he believed. He loved old people, Trevor. He never judged anyone until they did wrong to him.
Mm. Yeah,
and he believed that this country should be, and I believe too strongly, and I must say this to you.
Yes.
This country should be governed equally by the indigenous people, as well as these unfortunate, supposedly well-believers, whites.
Yep, yep.
We should have equal, and I would always vote for you because you have you have your heart in the right place.
Well, you're singing to the choir here. We're talking about the first peoples of the country,
yes.
And we're not really even at the table, so to speak, in regard to decisions and where we're going and where this country's heading.
And you should be.
Exactly, yes.
It's your country.
Mm, yes, true, darling. I've got to go, my dear. Thank you for the call, Samantha.
Yes, thank you, darling.
All the best.
Thank you for listening to this rambling of this old lady.
I'm always here for you. Thank you, Sam. That's our beautiful Samantha from WA. I think I got Coco back on the line. Coco, you there, brother? Lost you. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, all good, brother.
But just quickly, if you could remind with the people that we're going to have our memorial on Friday night, 5 o'clock, we'll have a candlelit memorial and vigil in
King George Square in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And we're trying to encourage other people around the country, around the state, to do similar. And we know there's a lot of strong and well-minded people in Cairns that would, you know, make sure the family get every support and don't let this go off the papers or don't let it be swept under the carpet.
Yeah, my brother. Thank you very much. Hey, and all the best to you, mob, there in Brisbane. You take care, Coco. Yep. Thank you for your yarn, brother.
Yep, and all respects to the people there.
Okay, brother. Thank you, Coco.
Yep.
Little yarn there. Coco finished off his conversation and they're having a vigil there in Brisbane in respect to little brother Nicholas Floyd Namok Malemu, and 3 years old, who was left on the minibus here in Cairns and with us in spirit and sad affair, and manslaughter charges were dropped there on Dion Beatrice Drills, and don't know where we're at in regards to the driver. Mr. Rules Defence Barrister Tony Kimmins argued it was the driver's responsibility to check the minibus. So they're pointing a finger at the minibus driver. So there it is. Murray, going to sign off here, your mob. I thank you very much for your company. We're back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, voice for our people. So do utilise it. And look, Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And more importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic. Let's not be laxy-daisy with the pandemic. Abide by the rules, you mob.